And just as a brief segue, I appreciate the song that Bob led, number 28. I really like when I was looking and hearing that last verse where it says in verse 4, and is it for me, number 28, it says, I'll be with thee forever and never grieve thee more. And that line has just really made me think, you know, even back in Genesis, the Lord was sorrowful that he'd created man. And I think about myself, and I hope that I am looking at my life and I'm not grieving the Lord, that I think about what I can do better. And that's part of my lesson. Is God first in your life? Do we think about where God's place is in our lives and what we're doing that's proper, that we're following his will and that we're doing what he says? And that I hope my lesson is an encouraging one, and I hope it helps you to think and refocus yourself on God. But with my lesson tonight, I wanted us to think about the lesson we've been looking at in Haggai with the Babylonian captivity and what the people were doing when they were rebuilding the temple. We know that they were in captivity because of what the people had done, that God had told them for prophecy, you're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And they didn't believe it. And then they went. And they were there in 70 years, not in their land, not being able to worship God in the way that they wanted to. And that through the providence of God, through his scriptures and through the prophets, the remnant, to go back and begin rebuilding the temple. And then, as we know, they were troubled by the peoples around them, that they stopped them from working. And then through Haggai and Zechariah, the people are instructed to continue their work. We can look in Ezra 3. These people, they knew who the Jews were. Let's begin actually in Ezra chapter 4, please. In verse 4, then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And we know that the work was stopped on the temple, and that through Haggai, the message comes to the people that they needed to begin rebuilding. And in Haggai, we're going to look at chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verses 2. Now thus says the Lord of hosts, this people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies in ruins? And looking at that, the people, that's what the purpose they'd come to rebuild the temple. And the Lord says, look at what you're doing. You're in your paneled houses instead. And they didn't seem too worried about the temple. And as we saw in Ezra, they were troubled by the peoples and it stopped their work. They seem to have more interest in having a good living for themselves instead of concern for a place for God. In verses 5 to 6, now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Or in some translations it says, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them into a bag with holes. We see the people, they made time for what was important to them, not to God. And they're still unable to get even the basics of life. And really, we think about that. God was the one who got them there. He got them back so that they could rebuild. And then in verses 7 to 8, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may appear in my glory, says the Lord. We see that in verse 7. God tells them consider. He says that twice in the previous verse and in this verse for them to really think about where they're at and what they were doing in their lives and the kind of place that God may have had in their lives. And God then instructs in verse 8 what they really needed to be doing. And that's what I think. Is there a lesson in us in this for us today? And I think so. I think definitely we should also be looking at our lives and think about, are we doing God's will? And God reminded the people here what they needed to be doing. And it's a good thing for us to also read the books of the Bible to see the reminders that God's giving us to do His will. And the 3 points I want us to take a look at is, are we putting God first in our lives over other things? Do we have other things in our lives that may be taking priority? And that's something we need to think about. And the second one, do we let worldly things, even things that may be difficult, stop us from the proper worship of God and the work that He has for us to do? And the last point I want us to think about, are we taking inventory of our lives and we consider how it glorifies God and what we're doing? Do we really take a look and see how much time we're giving to God and think about, you know, is this really God's will or is this the right decision I should be making? For my first point, I want us to look at Matthew 6:33. In verse 33, we should know this verse very well. It says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well." In another version it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And we can see the previous verses that God promises is the basics of life, because He knows that we need these things to get by. And when we consider Haggai, that's what the people of Israel, that's what they're working for. And were they really getting it? And they weren't getting enough, as we have seen. And as it says, if we put God's kingdom first, these things will be given to us. So when you think about what's important in our lives, and things that are first, that we're putting first, if we're putting them over God, are they really that important? You know, we think about, is God where He should be? You know, can we, when we look at our lives, can we put a name to maybe those things that are over, taking over our lives possibly? That may be putting Him second. And as an example that I thought about, you know, I like to work on my computer a lot, and I could easily see that taking control over my life and possibly taking up all my time, you know, where what happens to God and all that. And then could I think, you know, really I could replace this hour or 2 hours that I took, you know, could I replace that with study, or could I replace that with seeking out someone I can talk to about God, or even considering, you know, if I run into someone, how am I going to speak to them about God? How can I bring it up in a conversation? You know, it's a thing, we need to think about the things that God has given us, our strengths and our weaknesses, and think how to improve on those weaknesses, how we can make them strengths. And our strengths, we don't want to misuse or abuse them. We want to think about, like, the people of Israel, when they went back, that was a blessing from God. Did they misuse it? I think that's something we also need to think about with the things that God has given us. The second point, are worldly things our desire? And as we saw in the verses, the people of Israel, they let the Samaritans, the people, put fear in them to stop doing God's will. Instead of fearing what God thought about what they were doing, they feared what the men thought about them. And even other things could possibly stop us besides fear, let that get in the way of our worship and work towards God. And in Romans 8:31, this is something we should have in mind. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who is against us? also in Romans, and considering what we should truly desire to be, the kind of people and the kind of life we need to have, in Romans 12 and verses 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's the way to live. In 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because we should desire God and not the world. Our needs can and should be met, but God is worth so much more to us. And are we ready to accept correction from God if we find we're short in any of these things? In looking at some Old Testament scriptures, in Deuteronomy 8 and verses 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. Now, if we don't accept correction, if we won't accept correction from God when we read his word, we got to think, you know, have our hearts become dull? Has our hearing become dull to even the wholesome words of Jesus? And another verse for us to think about, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13, where it says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ. So do we take time to consider spiritual matters? After a lesson or after a Bible study, do we look, or even during, do we look and see, you know, is that really what the verses are saying? Do we go home and say, you know, that was a good lesson, I want to read up more on what was just said? Or if we come to something, you know, we're not sure of, are we worried about confirming our beliefs? Are we looking around to see which of our brethren might be weak and how we can help them? This is something I want all of us to consider. And since I don't have this, I will put up on the chalkboard. And this is just a little calculation that I came up with to get us to kind of start thinking about where our lives might be in relation to our service to God. Let's say, I'm going to start with a week. Let's say, generally, we have about, that's 2 hours, and that's our regular Bible study on Sunday morning and Wednesday. And then we have our 2 hours of worship. And let's say that this is just if we come to all of them, that's about 4 hours a week. Let's say we don't really do any more studying or anything else for the week for God. You know, that's 4 hours for him. And that's if you're coming to all these studies and worship services. You know, that's for God. Now, most people would say average, work about 40 hours a week. Let's say average, these are averages. I'll kind of get us an idea. You put about seven hours a day we sleep. And 7 days a week, about 49 hours a week we're sleeping. So we got 40 hours we work, 49 hours we're sleeping. And then for our meals, about 2.5 hours, hour lunch, hour dinner, 30 minutes for breakfast. So that's about 17.5 hours we spend eating. That's during the week. So that is about 106.5 hours we spend during the week doing those things. And I know that we do need to do these things. What happens is we are left with 57.5 hours during the week we can do anything else, whether we're using it for, you know, watching TV, entertainment, cleaning the house, whatever. You know, can we devote some of those times, some of those hours to the Lord? One of my second calculations we're going to look at. Let's take that to a year. Now, if we do those 2 hours of Bible study, 2 hours of worship each week, that's 208 hours a year that we're worshiping and studying the Lord. And you think, oh, that's pretty good. I spend 208 hours during the year for God. Well, we spend, if we're going by my other calculations, 2,080 hours working, 2,548 hours sleeping, 910 hours eating. That equals about to 5,538 hours we're doing those other things. And we're left with 2,990 hours. That's about 124 days. That's something for us to think about. Are we using our time wisely to serve God? As we look back at Haggai, when the people needed to consider their ways, you think about what they were using their time for. And after they received the message, in verse 12, they obey. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared before the Lord. And also, verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So let us learn all the lessons we can from the Bible. And do we consider our ways like these people should have? As it says in verse 7 and previously in verse 5. And in James 1, verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. You know, I'm here, I read the word, you're here hearing, and hopefully when we go home and when we think about it later on, we're not just listening to it, because what good does it hear and not to act upon what God has given us? And in Psalms 1, verses 1 to 2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So are we looking into God's law? Are we considering what we're doing in our lives? And are we being honest with ourselves? You know, and we're making corrections then after we see what we've done wrong. You know, it takes a lot also to do meditate, as it says, it meditate day and night. And really, are we doing a lot of self-examination? And as we see, the Bible gives us so many different passages to look at ourselves, consider our ways, examine what we're doing. Because really, we're more likely to listen to ourselves than someone else. That hopefully we would look first and think about what we're doing before it's too late? So are we looking around and calling our brothers and sisters who are not here? Are we waiting till it's too late, so they've been gone, you know, 2 months, 3 months, and then we decide to approach them? You know, are we preparing for the Bible class? Are we preparing our hearts for worship, that we can worship God in spirit and in truth? In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1, it reads, "Finally, brethren, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, you do so more and more." And also, I like the way that verse reads. I also like, I believe it's the American Standard, where it says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you ought to walk and to please God." So I'd like to encourage all of us and myself that we need to do God's will and the work the way He has it laid out, that we want to be pleasing to God. And if anyone is here this evening and you've not named the name of Jesus, you have not done what His Word says you need to do to become a Christian, so that you too may be pleasing to God and serve Him, then we ask that you come. Yes, that you come so that we may teach you, that you may look at God's Word and see what it has to say, that you're baptized and that your sins are washed away. If you're a Christian here this evening and you have fallen short in any regards, and if there's anything we can do to help you, pray with you, we ask that you come as we sing the chosen song.